Hi, this is episode 6 of the Coronavirus Daily and I am Ajay Ponia. As number of COVID-19 cases steadily rise in the country, we have another crisis around us. You would have seen on TV, migrant workers and their families being displaced from their temporary homes with limited places to stay safe. While many of us have the privilege of a roof over our head and food in our bellies, the working class population who run the economy need our help more than ever, while the government does what it can. Yes, it is a time of uncertainty. It is a time of anxiety. But we also have the power of the internet to raise awareness about the relief work being done around us. You can look up the various crowdfunding and donation drives online, as well as in your immediate locality. Provision of meals to sanitizing, provision of spaces to rest, and even collecting PPEs for not just healthcare professionals, but vegetable vendors and delivery persons and those providing care for street animals. All this while ensuring your own safety. Let us use this time to show care and compassion towards those who aren't lucky enough to stay home. The date today is 30th March, Monday. First, the uncertain. The lobbying over expanding the meaning of essential commodities continues as now mobile phone makers have placed a request to be included. As complaints of not being able to replace broken phones takes over social media, the argument cited is phones are a gateway to a lot of important essential services like coronavirus information or even ordering grocery deliveries, etc., etc. No doubt. The backward and forward linkages associated with essential engulfs a lot of goods and services. Expect more knocking on essential commodities door. And now for some of the good, the bad and the ugly. The good. Last week, I spoke of Singapore and South Korea being ongoing case studies of the pandemic. But closer home, Kerala has received accolades for handling of the situation. Remember, we still haven't won the battle, but just some good strategies that are in place currently. In January, when cases started appearing in the state, Kerala swung into action immediately and started screening incoming air traffic. But as epicenter started shifting from China to Italy and people began returning from everywhere, the stress on the state became evident with an 8-fold increase in cases under observation. They then began tracing those who came in contact with people in observation and those that allegedly escaped quarantine or observation. As NIV Pune was under stress from all the samples it received from across the country, the gap between those tested and positive widened for a short while till the graph started going up again. In a nutshell, meticulous planning, monitoring data, hospitalization and sample collection have been the core focus. And interestingly, while this was on, the state excise department confiscated illegally possessed spirits to make hand sanitizers. Now, for some hopeful news in the offing. Scientists in US are starting to roll out new blood tests for the coronavirus that looks for antibodies, something I spoke of last week as well. A key development that, unlike the current diagnostics tests, will help identify people who are immune and also reveal the full scope of the pandemic. These blood tests can identify people who were infected and have already recovered from COVID-19. You know, imagine something like catching a criminal red-handed versus going to a crime scene later and looking for fingerprints. Scientists expect these people might be same from another infection at least for a while. What's the actionable use of that info, you ask? Can we prioritize people who can start going to work or even serve as a support to frontline health workers? The bigger question before these though, if someone has had mild symptoms and has recovered now, but they didn't get themselves tested earlier, how do you identify them? A classic example of you don't know what you don't know. Now for the bad. By now you would have spent half the isolation time looking at data and graphs. But if you haven't, congrats on being the rare few specimens who have their mental peace intact. But the thing with all this COVID-19 data we're looking at is that this is not data of what coronavirus is up to today. They might be hanging out on your switchboard, But did you disinfect it yet? If not, do it right now. What today's numbers reflect are A, transmission that happened a couple of weeks ago, B, symptoms showing up a week or 10 days ago, and C, hospitalization or testing anytime in the last 1 week. It's like looking at the stars, but the star that you're looking at today is a star of years ago. Or simply, a life diktat that you would have heard many times over. Your present is a result of actions of the past. Furthermore, if right now you're thinking, gosh, it'll be terrible to look like Italy, then recall, where were we 3 weeks ago? Because it is important to understand that the state of your state today, no puns intended, is because of what you did not do 3 weeks ago. So stop looking at the graph as a curve, turn it 90 degrees and look at it as a wave. Because if the number of cases are 3x and not 30x, it was because those many responsible citizens understood this graph and moved up to a higher ground. Stay home. And now for the ugly. If your anxiety got triggered listening to the bad, I would request you to avoid listening anymore. Okay, so now that you're still here. Brazil's president Jair Bolsonaro is so frustrated with this whole idea of coronavirus social distancing that the rest of the world has made a lifestyle. So, organized Rio de Janeiro crime gangs are now enforcing their own coronavirus lockdown by ordering people to obey a curfew. Threatening messages circulated in the city's notorious favelas warn that gangsters will teach people to respect an 8 p.m. shutdown. Here's a sample of a couple of messages. Attention all residents, curfew from 8 p.m. today. Whoever is seen on the street after this time will learn to respect the next one. Ooh, here's another. We want the best for the population. If the government does not have the capacity to fix it, organized crime will solve it. Before I go, the funnies. Remember how last week I spoke of Malaysia shutdown impacting the global supply of medical gloves? Turns out, the same shutdown impacts condom supply too. Malaysia's Carex BHD, that makes 20% of condoms globally, it's been 10 days since they last produced a condom. Although they've been given permission to reopen, the executives say the stoppage may lead to global supply being hit for months, especially when the entire workforce is not turning up. So here's a poll. When the new normalcy resumes, what graph will we see more of? More babies or more divorces? Goodbye, wash your hands, and see you next week.